Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm going to welcome in National College Sports Reporter for OutKick, Mr. Trey Wallace. Trey, I think the first time I ever talked to you, man, was what was it? What was the name of the station in Mobile that you were on for a little bit? That was like back in 2012,
oh,
I believe.
Gosh, WNSP.
There it is,
Mobile. Yeah, man. We go back. So yes, this is directly the scene as Michael Scott is walking in, yeah. And there's Dunder Mifflin bosses looking at him like, wait, what? Going on here? Okay.
I appreciate you hanging out with us. I do have to tell you, before we get into some of the college football stuff, I was at the Coke 600 last weekend, man. So I know you're a NASCAR guy, and Bubba, you know, your cousin obviously has had great amount of success in that. But I've followed Bubba since having that conversation with you some 12, 13 years ago, man. So that's been a lot of fun.
Man, They gave him such a crap car last weekend to work with. All he was doing was riding around.
Yeah, what's Denny doing? Come on, Denny. Let's go.
Yeah, I was going to say, tell it to MJ, Trey. Yeah. You know, Trey, what's funny is the best part is when our Dylan, our producer you talked to, said, hey, we got Trey Wallace coming up. I said, Bubba's cousin, and he goes, no, I don't think so. And I go, no, it's Bubba's cousin. He goes, I mean, maybe, but I don't think so. I'm like, no, they're cousins still, trust me. Because Mike and I are both big NASCAR fans. Guy, so man.
We're going down live to
Atlanta. Oh, dude, he sent me, I was so mad at him this morning. He sent us some dumb picture in a group text at like 5:30 this morning. I was like, boy, you got to be kidding me. Don't be doing that stuff this early, man. And whatever. It was a picture of the baby, but I could see Bex anytime. I don't need to see him at 5:30 in the morning. So I just told him to go over there and get his crew chief up his rear end and get him a better car for this weekend. So yeah, it is what it is.
We'll see him at Atlanta Motor Speedway here in a few weeks. I do want to talk, and you're down in Destin, Trey, and obviously, man, you do as good a job as anybody having your pulse on some of the goings on in the SEC. We talked all day about some of the whispers about the 9-game conference schedule and the thought of the Big Ten SEC crossover. Where are we at on the 9-game conference schedule? Is this something that you feel like has momentum and should, you know, get done in the near future, or are we still kind of in a holding pattern there?
Yeah, look, I think this gets done. It feels like we've been talking about a 9-game conference schedule for 5 years now, every time we come down to Destin for these spring meetings. But, yeah, no, I do think we're close. And to be honest with you, in talking with some folks behind the scenes that were in these meetings, I think they pretty much got a handshake agreement in place here. It's not going to be formally written out. It's not going to be discussed in a press conference by Greg Sankey. But once the CFP part gets figured out with the format, that's when I think the SEC will announce a 9-game schedule. Now, it really comes down to, how many automatic qualifiers and whatnot do you get in the CFP? And I know we'll talk about that. But I think at the end of the day, I do think that they end up moving from 8 to 9, but the kicker is, what does it look like? You're going to eat yourself up in the league and add that additional game and then not have it pay off, you know, with an automatic qualifier, an additional automatic qualifier for the college football playoff. I think that's the big kicker that the athletic directors and presidents want to know. And I think they've got that part figured out. They've been talking about this long enough. But the biggest thing to me is Greg Sankey threw out a deadline for the CFP, and he said December 1st. Well, guys, that's going to get done before December 1st. And they have a massive meeting on June 18th where they will all get together. So long story short I think they're ready to go to 9 games. I think it would help. I think if you look at the Big Ten and how that part plays out with them, and also don't forget too, one of the driving factors in a lot of this is revenue. And if you can go back to the table and get, let's just say, an extra $6-7 million per team from ESPN and Disney, they're not going to turn down the cash. And at the end of the day, also, I do think it will help them. And I don't think it'll go against them. You know, if you're adding a Georgia versus LSU, like every 2 years or whatnot, home and home, I don't think that hurts in the playoff if it's a close game, especially if we get some kind of a format with a number of automatic bids, maybe not just like 3 or 4.
Well, Trey, that's why I'm confused. If they know they're going to nine games, then why are the coaches pushing so hard for this Big Ten, you know, the inner scheduling where they play each other? Because some of these teams that are going up for playoff games are going to be adding another tough game. I mean, you look at what Florida plays this year and what they played last year. They might be playing – I mean, they could – there's not a team on that schedule that they can't lose to. Yeah.
Well, that's why I think that you had some coaches talking about it, and some coaches were like, wait a minute. Shane Beamer, my man said it perfectly. It's like, wait a minute. We play Clemson every year at the end of the season. So you want to tell me, you know, there could be a year where I got to go to Ann Arbor, you know, or Michigan comes to us? Like, hold up now. Like, I think that's pushing it. So I asked Sam Pittman for clarity yesterday. After Brian Kelly made his comments, and Sam Pittman kind of said it this way. He goes, if it would kind of be counted towards the nine game conference schedule. And I know that sounds a little bit complicated, so I asked Sam Pittman to go further in on it. And he said, look, if we agree to go to nine games in the SEC, well, if we do an SEC Big Ten quote unquote invitational is what I call it because of the basketball reference, that would actually go towards that nine. So maybe you're not playing an extra SEC team, but you're playing potentially a Big Ten school in that. So maybe that's where, you know, you get somewhere. I don't think, look, I talked to a number of ADs yesterday before they got on their private jets and got out of town as quick as possible. And they said, look, this thing, don't hold your breath. Like it's got a couple years for that to even get figured out. And I agree because you got to figure out what you're going to do with the conference and you got to figure out what you're going to do with the CFP. But don't forget, man, there's a number of teams you'd have to buy out because if you're looking at the schedule right now, everybody's got their schedules pretty much laid out for the next 6, 7, 8 years. So how that part, who's going to pay for the buyouts? You know, we just saw something with Tennessee and Nebraska. You know, where Nebraska wanted out and whatnot, Nebraska had to pay a fee, then Tennessee figured out who they were going to play, whatever. What I'm getting at is that right now we're trying to figure out what the next 2 years looks like. Well, this SEC Big Ten thing, I mean, it would happen for like 5, 6, 7 years. So I think a lot of coaches, that was just one of the things that was brought up. And I think when Brian Kelly was asked that, again, that was like one of probably seven topics that were discussed in the room. And obviously that's going to click and that's going to hit. And it's something interesting to talk about. But I do think that that's kind of down the road a bit. So I'm just saying, SEC fans, Big Ten fans, hold your horses. Don't expect some invitational in 2027.
Well,
you're already getting it, by the way, too. Like, kind of. I mean, you're getting Texas and Ohio State. What do we have? Yes, last year we had the Longhorns and Michigan, like whatever. I'm just using examples, but you're kind of already getting that. So, I mean, if you want to see Vanderbilt and Purdue play every year, have at it. So.
Trey,
no offense, because I love Diago. But I'm sorry, keep going.
No, you're good. I saw you tweeted about the potential for SEC overseas games, and Greg Sankey basically said, no, at this point it seems like it could be too challenging financially. But other conferences, they figured it out. So what could be the benefits of a game abroad if they did try to figure this out one day?
Yeah, I don't think that would be a big – like, I think it would be something because if ESPN or somebody wanted it within the next, like, 3, 4 years, that's where the challenge is. But I think it would be fascinating. And talking with some folks, there's a reason why that was brought up. And we're talking about with the media to Greg Sankey, it's because it's something behind the doors that have been discussed. Mm. And I think that when you look at, and I'm not saying it went deep into discussions, but I am saying ESPN has come to the SEC and have been like, hey, you know, we do this, you know, once a year, maybe twice a year, whatever. Would you like to get involved? And I don't think it's that big a deal when it comes to putting it together, because guys, I mean, we see what Georgia Tech and Florida State go to Dublin. Well, you know, we had what 3 years Otis on that. I mean, it's something the SEC could do. But you know, would you expect Georgia and Tennessee or Georgia and Alabama to take a home game away from their schedule to go overseas? Okay. Maybe once, but that's it, you know? And so I don't know if this is going to become some yearly rotation where you play an SEC game over there. But I could see something where you start seeing an SEC team maybe play somebody else overseas. Now, that's where it could get interesting. And I've been told something that the four-letter network and Disney and all that stuff has presented to the SEC, because they did do a big presentation, ESPN did, while we were down here. I mean, I don't think it's like off the table, but I think Greg Sankey was more talking about, look, taking SEC network on the road, you know, logistically getting these teams over there and whatnot, having like an in-SEC type game where you got two of those competitors over there. I think that's the long stretch. But it would not surprise me one bit if there's an SEC team playing overseas in the next 5-6 years. I'll just leave it at that.
Finishing up with Trey Wallace, college sports reporter for Outkick. Trey, we got about 30 seconds left. Kirby Smart brought it up the other day. He was like, you know, we can talk about everything, NIL, you know, the house settlement, whatever, the transfer portal. Is there any power for the SEC to actually be able to make changes in the transfer portal, and when can we expect something like that?
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Yeah, I don't disagree with Kirby Smart. I think it's a massive problem right now, and I think it also ties into the revenue part that's about to start happening come July 1st. I think that at the current moment, in talking with some officials, it's not much the SEC can do. They can complain all they want about it, but until this house settlement is reached, and then you get this new College Sports Commission, which is pretty much going to be the enforcement arm from the house settlement. The NCAA is losing some power when it comes to academics and eligibility, so they would have to be the ones to make the change to the transfer portal. It wouldn't just be like the rules committee from the NCAA anymore. I think within the next 2 years, you're going to see something with the transfer portal moves. I think they're going to either agree to put this bad boy for 10 days, you know, sometime in the middle of January, and take away the April period. And if they don't decide to do that and keep it where they are, you're going to keep the same two portal periods open, because you don't want one at the end of April where you're just completely screwed going into the summer. So I don't disagree with Kirby Smart. I think it's a massive problem. These guys don't have their roster set. You got people leaving. And then also at the same time, as we saw twice this spring, Nico took a bunch of money and then left Tennessee, went to UCLA. Madden, his brother, turned around and took about $210,000 from Arkansas over a span of 3.5 months and went back to L.A. So you got to figure out a way to stop this type of stuff, and especially with revenue sharing coming up. How do you put an end to that? Well, you got to start collective bargaining. I don't see that happening anytime soon. But at the end of the day, yes, we will see a different transfer portal, in my opinion, the next 2 to 3 years. We'll just see if Kirby Smart gets his way.
That's Trey Wallace from Outkick. Trey, we appreciate it, man. Good to catch up with you. Enjoy Destin.
My man, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate all of you guys. Look forward to seeing you at the next NASCAR race.
That's Trey Wallace from Outkick, man. Good stuff. And obviously the latest going on down in Destin. Some good info there with him.